Aniara presents. Sibylla by Roger Lundgren.
Prologue. When the great tsunami disaster struck large parts of the Indian Ocean in 2004, 534 Swedes who had travelled to Thailand to celebrate Christmas and New Year were killed. Sweden as a whole paused, and its people united in deep mourning for the many people who had lost their lives. King Carl XVI, Gustav, was able to articulate the pain people felt when he said, in a eulogy, that he wished he could be like the king in the fairy tales who made everything right, but that he, like everyone else, was just a fellow human being. In connection with the tsunami, the King of Sweden began to speak openly about the longing and curiosity he had felt for his father, Prince Gustav Adolf, who died in a plane crash in 1947, aged just 40. King Carl Gustav was less than a year old at the time and thus has no memories of his father. Having had a keen interest in all things royal since childhood, I began to wonder why the king never spoke about his mother, Princess Sibylla. She passed away in 1972 and was more or less forgotten in Sweden. Born in 1908 as Princess of Saxony, Coburg and Gotha, she immediately fell in love with Swedish Prince Gustav Adolf when they met at a wedding in the UK at the home of a mutual relative. The couple married in 1932 and had five children together before the tragedy of the plane crash in 1947. Sibylla, whose destiny was to become Queen of Sweden, now had to adjust to a new life, alone, with five young children, the last of whom, Carl Gustaf, was to be raised as the future king. To make matters worse, the princess was subjected to a lot of malicious rumours because of her German family's connection to Adolf Hitler and the Nazis during the Second World War. It was important for me to discover who Sibylla really was, as she was not only the Princess of Sweden but also the Duchess of Västerbotten, the region in northern Sweden where I come from. I had heard many stories about her growing up. But in Västerbotten, the memories of Sibylla were positive. She had an almost fairy tale aura around her, and during every visit to northern Sweden, she was received with great enthusiasm. I got to know the king's sister, Princess Christina, and was able to tell her personally about my curiosity about her mother and that my ambition was to write a biography to be published in time for Sibylla's 100th birthday in 2008. She thought it was a good idea and promised to talk to her brother. A few weeks later, I received a call from the royal palace informing me that the king and his four sisters were happy to work with me to release a book about their mother. The book received a lot of attention when it was published, and it is astonishing to think that nearly 20 years have passed since I began working on it. For me, it has been a great honour to tell the princess's life story. What has moved me most is the kindness shown to me by the king and his sisters, and by Crown Princess Victoria, who once said to me, "Most of what I know about my grandmother I have learnt from your book." It is my profound hope that you who read the biography of Princess Sibylla will find it interesting, and that in this way we can remember a woman who served her new country with great dedication and sense of duty, despite the fact that she was often treated very badly by the Swedish people. Chapter 2. Saxony, Coburg and Gotha. A few hours' drive southwest of Berlin lies the idyllic town of Coburg in the German state of Bavaria. A relatively small town by German standards, Coburg is surrounded by deep, deciduous forests and is close to the long, narrow river Itz. The town is dominated by the mighty medieval castle of Väster Coburg, which has witnessed many historical events. Väster Coburg was the winter residence of the Duke of Saxe-Coburg.